Oh, hey there, listeners and juicers. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that if you have fallen in love with the Draw Your Dice podcast and want to help put some new fruit on the table, but don't feel comfortable making a monthly commitment, well, you can support the show via the Acast supporter feature. No gift too large, nor too small. Just click on the link in the show description and know that I am sending you the strongest hug when you do so.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/acast and use code acast for 20% off your first purchase.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy to assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium durable materials, including stain and scratch resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/acast. That's 15% off at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing today? Drinking a delicious green tea this morning. It's been a little bit. It's been about 3 weeks since I've recorded the last devlog, only because I've been knee-deep inside of designing Umbral Dive, with whom we'll have a title change here in the near future, I think. as the game begins to solidify more and more. But who am I? Hi, welcome back. I'm Jeremy Gage. This is another Devlog installment. I believe the fourth of its kind. Be out of order. It can be whatever. You can listen to these in any order, I think, and it'll be useful. You can find me at JeremyGage5 over on Twitter. You can listen to the Draw Your Dice podcast, both on YouTube and also on any podcast distributor of your choice. And I really have really awesome conversations coming up in the year. But, you know, this is a devlog about the process of project name Umbral Dive, my skirmish, modernized, trad RPG thing. Trying to solve all the problems for myself that I have with Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, and games of their ilk. So this episode is going to be dedicated to talking about the Fractal System, which I think is going to be the name of the SRD. I think it just fits with the themings of the core game overall, the flagship game, if you will, and also talk about how playtest design is going, and I think it's going well. So let's start with the Fractal System, because then that will sort of cement into the current playtest design. So something I've mentioned in the devlog before is that I don't think it's necessary to have a single mechanic hold up all of the different ways you engage with a fictional world. As I see it, there are sort of four or five layers of game engagement on your traditional RPG. One of those, I think, is the layers sort of going from tightest scope, at least in a trad RPG skirmish game, to widest scope is there's the moment-to-moment combat, which is the most granular of the game. And then if you zoom out a little bit, there is the inter-party connection slash dungeon delving roleplay. So that's sort of, I call that like a micro level roleplay. Then you have sort of overworld travel and interaction with the world at large. And then there's sort of like faction play. Those two kind of sit on the same level for me, but you could argue either one is under the other. I guess if I had to pick, faction play would be under overworld play. And so I think that ultimately I'm going to design a specific core system for each of those styles of interaction, as I'm dubbing this the Fractal System, mostly based on like the idea of a kaleidoscope and how different shapes can meld into each other, and how you can pick specific colors and things. And the idea behind the Fractal System is that I also want to inspire core mechanics that you can use and don't need to use. For instance, if you're a play style group that is generally focused on just combat and dungeon delving, like that's the sort of game you want to get to more of like the board game mechanics of a game, I think you can just use those two, and you should never have to be able to touch overworld or faction play if you don't want to. If you're more story-oriented people or narrative-oriented people, then I think that you should be able to engage in both the overworld and the faction play without the need to go to moment-by-moment combat. And maybe there are quick versions of each of these systems, right? So there's the in-depth version, which you can use to sort of like soup up your game moment to moment, but maybe there's like a quick resolution method for each of these systems that like, oh, I do sort of want to know how the world tells us that the game, that the world tells us how it responds to our actions. And so it's kind of a notion of how much does the game get to be a player in at, or excuse me, at your table. So that's sort of the fractal system at large. But for me, the one that I've been focusing on the most is the combat. You can listen to the state of combat in the last episode. It has changed quite a bit since then. I had a lot of revelations about how I want the game to operate, very inspired by Destiny 2 in a lot of ways, but also MMORPGs, and others of the like. So that will lead me into the playtest document. So I'm working on a playtest alpha. It's going to be closed alpha. It's not going to be super public right now. I'll probably it'll probably be something I run that I will field people who are in the Discord for those for that play. Shout out to the people who've already joined and are interested in the playtest that I mentioned in the last episode. And then if the playtest alpha goes well, that document, after I get some questions answered, that document will evolve into sort of like a playtest open alpha that I'll probably put up on Itch for free that people can sort of manipulate and play. I'll probably have the documents up on Discord, but they are very much going to be an alpha. Some things may not work when you kick the tires on them once they get in the hands of other GMs. And I think that that's okay, and that'll be good feedback for the game. And I think this is just a game that needs testing on the combat level because I need it to, you know, I want it to be good and I want it to be successful, and I'm only one angle of playing the game. So what is going to be included in this combat playtest? I once saw a tweet from a person named Delaney King over on Twitter. Let me look up her Twitter handle. So Delaney King, at Delaney King Rocks, that's R-O-X. She is a character tech artist, Dragon Age, Where the Wild Things Are, Unreal 4, Civ 4, D&D Online, God of War, Stellaris HD. Just a very cool designer, has a lot of really good advice. Honestly, if you don't do like notifications on Twitter, she would be the first account that I would say put notifications on whenever you need to go check out something she said that's game dev related. It's really cool stuff. But there was a tweet she made a while ago about when you're building your first video game, you make your one character, your one sword, your one boss, your one little enemy. Maybe those two enemies are the same enemy, but one is just bigger or has like an extra gimmick in it. And just focus on the most minimum viable product of play. And so for me, that is combat. What I care most about right now is combat. And then I think a lot of the dungeon delving stuff will come off of whatever those mechanics happen to be, so they don't intersect with each other in a weird way. And that's what I'm doing. That's what this playtest is. So it's focusing on combat. And what will be included in this playtest? Well, the opener has some just basic information about the world, who the characters are, why certain things are happening. The setting is very post-apocalypse. What that means is that humanity has actually gone extinct, and somehow we have resurfaced in a new age, a new sort of like almost Pangean style world. It's just raw wilderness. The difference, though, from what we know as Pangaea is to now is that our structures and our technology have been sort of swallowed up by the land, but are still very much present. So ruined skyscrapers, old tech, robots, speculative science fiction stuff that's laying around. Has a little bit of like a Numenera vibe for anyone that's familiar with that setting. And that's sort of the opener. It also talks about what the player characters are. The player characters are called Sirens, I've decided. That's P-S-Y-R-E-N-S. The idea is that at some point in the setting, you know, me as the game designer, I've decided there's this amazing solar flare that was the cause of human extinction, but we had like a cloning procedure set in place. So that's why humans are back. I don't have to explain it and how it works. And the solar flare sort of woke up the world's mind. And there is this ambient sort of chromatic aberration energy called Glimmer, which is like psychic energy. The world has a soul, it has a mind, but it's so beyond our understanding of human concept that it comes across as vague messages, and it uses the Glimmer to manifest what are called flickers, moments in the past. You can almost imagine, like, anything that's happened to the world up until the point of this game has scarred it in some way. World wars, diseases, massive global events are just things it remembers. And sometimes those memories resurface in the form of, like, this colorful energy. So if you can imagine, like, your, I don't know, traditional fantasy monster of a goblin, and imagine that it's just made up of, like, red energy, and it's just condensed enough that it can actually do some physical harm to a person. So those are flickers, and that's sort of, like, the magic of the world is this glimmer. And glimmer can be manipulated by thought, or by emotion, or by intent. And sirens are people who have the strongest resonance with different types of glimmer. And so that's sort of the opening. It just gives you a little brief intro of the world, tells you who you're playing. Then it goes into who the GM is, who I call the messenger in this game. So it's MG, haha. Someone pointed out to me that that's rather clever, and I like it. So you play the MG, or the messenger. And the reason I call it the messenger, two reasons. One, I don't like the term game master or facilitator or something like that, or even guide, as the world player, I guess, because I want that person to feel like a player. I want them to have a cool title for when they're interacting with play in the game. I think game master or facilitator makes them feel very outside of the game, or can have the potential to make them feel outside of the game. And so I have decided on the messenger. And the reason I call it that is when you are playing the world, I think there's this like really interesting thing that happens on the conscious level or subconscious level of your mind, where you're asking the fictional representation in your head of the world how it responds to the players, right? So the players go, oh, can we, can we explore this underwater ruin? Like, are there any dangers? Or can we ask this NPC for help or something? And, you know, in your mind's eye as the facilitator, you go, huh, hey, world, can the players talk to this NPC without problems? And then you're sort of like computing the data in your head and the fictional data in your head. And then you translate what the world said back out to the players, such as the messenger. And I think this is really cool, like, meta level narrative thing you can do, where a player can go like, oh, let's ask the messenger, right? And it can just be this conduit for the world and the players, which is what that world player represents, right, is a connection to what the world is trying to say, which is, I think, is cool. So the GM is called the messenger, the MG in this case. They operate foes, and for the playtest, they'll have rules about how to do that and how to navigate a couple of documents. And then it goes into the combat section, which talks about the different phases of combat, what happens in them, what can you do in them. There's a section about character creation, which explains how to build a siren. Like I mentioned in a couple previous episodes of the Devlogue, there won't be character progression, there'll be world progression. So the MG will actually be the person that gets to play the sort of experience level game, whereas the players are more going to gain benefits through that level up of the world. And they're more of like a customization, equipment style play. Think things like Destiny 2, think maybe like Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War. I guess they do kind of have like level up systems for the equipment in some cases, but the idea is that it's about the things that you have on you versus your personal character's abilities, because I want your character to already feel like a capable person with skills. And you might be asking, like, well, then how do I see this character, like, how do I make my character grow? And I think in what I'm going to present in the game is not a growth during play, but a growth after play. So what I mean by that is when you design your siren, you will play out a couple sessions. Umbral Dive is going to be a game that's designed around my personal philosophies on how long a campaign or an adventure should last. And I never play more than 12 sessions of a campaign. Like, I want to get a story done in about 12 sessions, sometimes 14. And after anywhere between that maximum and the minimum number of sessions to play, I kind of want to inspire a self-reflection of your character and say, okay, what we did in this adventure changed my character in this way. After the whole narrative arc is done, this is the lesson my character learned. I think I'm going to remake my character to fit these attributes for the next time we play the campaign. And what I love about that is more lateral skill expression rather than vertical skill expression. So as a contrast in D&D, when you are a class and you pick, let's say, a sorcerer, right? When you make that decision, you've kind of already made the choice that you are going to be a sorcerer for the rest of the game. And the thing that progresses about you is your interactions in the world and the powers you have particular access to in a vertical slice. So, and to change classes is kind of like a whole big deal of an arc or reflection or something like that. So you're playing a sorcerer and you're like, well, I kind of want to be a warlock now, or I want a multi-class warlock, or I want to have those changes. And I think some of the ways that people develop doing that can be, at least for me, a little trite. I don't want you to spend the extra session length as a busy adult to change from sorcerer to warlock, or even to add it in, which, you know, might be its own fun in its own regards, but that's just not how I want to play. And I think there's a modicum of thinking about how other people think like that too. They don't want to waste the time in changing classes. So I offer that. I think that you play a couple of quick sessions, you do a quick story arc or something for the world or a faction or an NPC, and then you sort of on a after campaign debrief kind of talk about, oh, like, did my internal truth change about my character? If yes, make a new siren, same name, different kind of stats or equipment allocations, and play another campaign and see if that character jives with you. See if you want to change them back. Let that version, maybe you can play a game where that previous version is now like a flicker. Because remember, I said the world remembers things through the glimmer. So your character is now omnipresent in the world, whether you like it or not. So you could pass it along to another player in a different table, and or at a different table in a different game, and use that character as a foe or as a memory. Maybe you can use those lessons to sort of like alternate reality stuff. I think it's a really cool concept, and just giving people the permission to like really play with characters in a way that I think is not as talked about. I'm not saying I'm doing anything new or innovative here. I do think there are games or people who have already had these thoughts and have tried to execute them, or may have executed them, and I'm just not privy. But I do want to give people the ability to say, like, characters are really, can be really transitive in a lot of ways. And I think that's cool. I think it's a cool thing to, like, mechanize. So the playtest document will include those. And then the last bit is that it includes both an enemy for a boss fight, and then an enemy for a crowd fight. And you can sort of play both of those. It gives you rules on foes, lots of cool stuff in there. And so you get character creation, and you'll get some pre-generated sirens, each satisfying a specific role or job, as I call them, a specific job in combat, a specific combat job is what I call it. And then a certain glimmer harmony, and then certain equipment to go with them. You'll pick it up, you'll play it, it'll be a Google Sheets character keeper. Then you'll have your team sheet, you'll have the foe encounter sheet, and then you'll just have to boot up a roll 20 with some ruler things, turn off your grid, and go to town on what I call the desolation. So yeah, that's where the playtest is at. Document is relatively done, probably a couple more kinks to work out as far as like word choices and things, a little bit more of like a microscopic edit, and have to make the pre-generated character keepers, have to make the like faux tracking sheet, and then I just try to run it myself, try to run it for others, and then I pass it out to the greater Umbral Dive community. Again, that name may not be because that was a different version of the game that had a different feeling, but I think the playtest is coming along. I foresee it probably being public somewhere beginning of May, end of April of 2022. And after that, it's off to the races, because if that works, that's the majority of the micro game. And that will make all the other design that much easier. I can start designing more foes. I can start designing more class options. I can start designing more like special abilities and powers. And then I can start working on like dungeon delving stuff and tying in like a larger frame of play. See how long combat takes. And yeah. So if anyone has any specific questions about maybe other aspects of the game that I'm sort of like marinating on, or why I make certain design decisions as related to my inspirations of like video games, because a lot of this game design is taking from video games. It's the thing I have the most experience with in the gaming's industry. board games are cool, and I definitely think there are things I'm using from those, but a lot of my initial seed points are from video games with concepts that I find very interesting and I think can be brought back to the role-playing space. If you want to help me make some job abilities, hang out in the Discord. That's the Have You Played This Discord, HYPT. You can find a link to that in on my Twitter. And yeah, listen to the Draw Your Dice podcast. You have to if you're listening to this. And yeah, playtest coming to you very, very soon. Very soon. And I would love for you to play it. So thank you. And enjoy the rest of your day. And I hope to have more devlogs for you soon. Other stuff I'm working on like kind of like a cheap online course video kind of thing where I just want to make like game theory a little bit more accessible. I've done a lot of homework on game theory in the last year when I started the podcast and started designing this and just had questions about like what is play, how does it all work. I would love to create some like basic resources for people to, you know, learn tools to make their own game. I don't think this would be a course of like saying this is how you make a game, but more of these are all your options when it comes to design and things to think about. And some of those might be a little bit outdated, or outdated may not be the right word. I think a little bit more classical, and there are definitely modern things that I'm not really privy to how to explain to people yet. But I'm learning every day, and I want to share that education with you. So let me do the work, and maybe if you slide me a couple dollars for that, that would be cool. And yeah, just really helping with education, accessible education, and making games, especially as fine-tuned as Umbral Dive. Not very abstract in the slightest. So yeah. Great. Well, I hope that you all have a beautiful day. Again, I've been Jeremy Gage. You can check me out over on YouTube. You can check me out over on the Twitters. But the biggest place is the Discord community. I was on Radio Silence for a while with combination of like dog stuff. I'm a dog sitter by trade right now, and just being heavily invested in working on Umbral Dive. And, you know, just also not being good at the internet. I play a lot of volleyball, just a lot of like real life activities that keep me off the computer for the most part. And when I am on, I'm writing. So thanks, everyone. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. Thank you for continuing to follow this series. Thank you for continuing to listen to the podcast. Thank you for joining the Discord community. Thank you to all the patrons who support, who give some backings to what I do. It really makes a world of difference. You have no idea. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.